Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of my good evening. Welcome to the programme where we'll take you through some of the day's main news before 5.30. So on day four of the bus strike, we're going to hear from the Infrastructure Minister, who's hopeful a resolution isn't far away. We understand another meeting has been taking place this afternoon. Also tonight, as more residents share stories of problems returning to the island, we get the latest on progress to replace the wet ink stamp and visa system. Also, have you heard of a charter city? An American entrepreneur believes the Isle of Man should create one. We'll find out why. And what is next for Isle of Man FC's interim manager? All that, plus the weather, the traffic and the travel. And if you'd like to get in touch, you can always email the studio, studio@manxradio.com. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Siobhan. First of all, Fastamai.
The Infrastructure Minister says his department will now look at alternative solutions for West Quay in Ramsey. This week, the DOI withdrew its planning application for new flood defences and highway improvements, following what it describes as serious concerns raised locally about the scale and impact of the design. Meanwhile, in the House of Keys this morning, Tim Cruckle faced questions about the future of the Douglas Bay Horse Tramway. He says his department intends to bring a business case for its full reinstatement to May's sitting of Tynwald.
If approved by Tynwald, it is anticipated that the project will commence within 12 months and is expected to take approximately 40 weeks.
Government says it has no current plans to ban social media for under-16s, but will continue to monitor international debate on the issue. Chief Minister Alfred Cannon says if the UK were to restrict access for under-16s, the island would consider whether it should act in step. And the Information Commissioner has upheld a complaint against the Department for Enterprise over its handling of a Freedom of Information request about £2.2 million of public funding for King William's College. The ICO ruled the department was not justified in refusing all of the requested information. Further afield, MPs have backed a Lib Dem call to release parliamentary documents relating to Andrew Mountbatten Windsor's time as a trade rep. On the fourth anniversary of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, there's this promise of a €90 billion loan from the EU to Kyiv.
Let me be crystal clear. The loan was agreed by 27 heads of state and government. They have given their word. This word cannot be broken.
US TV host Savannah Guthrie is now offering $1 million for information that leads to her being reunited with her missing mother. And Lily Collins will play Aubrey Hepburn in a film about the making of the classic Breakfast at Tiffany's. There your headlines. I'll have your news in full at six.
Thank you very much indeed, Siobhan. Now the weather, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So this evening, largely cloudy but often dry. Still with a few outbreaks of drizzle though overnight, mainly for higher ground. Moderate to fresh southerly winds, minimum temperatures of around 9. Then tomorrow, some good news for you. A more persistent area of rain and drizzle in the morning. This will peter out later in the day, but there is an increased risk of mist and coastal fog patches. Fresh, locally strong south-south-west winds and top temperatures of 11.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
It's coming up to 5 past 5. Well, when the Infrastructure Minister, Tim Cruckle, was on Breakfast this morning, he told us another meeting was planned for this afternoon between his department and Unite the Union to resolve the strike by bus drivers on the island. So far, we haven't heard anything about how that meeting has gone, whether it's still ongoing. Obviously, if we hear anything before the end of this programme, we'll let you know. But Mr Cruckle says offers have been made and turned down on both sides, but he is hopeful of the issue being sorted out sooner rather than later.
Unite have come back with an offer which is being considered at the moment and will be discussed this afternoon, and they've changed slightly, and you know, they change and we change. So somewhere in the middle there is hopefully some common ground that we can agree on. I don't know how far apart we are at the moment, probably too far still, if I'm honest, but you know, we're slowly getting there, I hope, and say the sooner we can resolve this, the better, for everybody's sake, the drivers, but everybody who wants to use the bus service as well.
Bus Vanin operating this reduced contingency timetable. Is that sustainable for the remaining 6 days of this strike, do you think?
I honestly don't know, Ben. You know, we're using the staff that we've got down Bank Circus and everything. You know, we're running as many buses as we can, but obviously those staff can only do so many hours a day and things. And you know, the drivers that want to drive, you know, obviously we're using those as well. But another 6 days is going to take its toll, and you know, drivers can only do a certain amount of hours a day and things, and then they'll normally have sort of 6 days on and 2 days off, whatever it is, you know, and we've got office staff that are doing that, trying to do that, and they've got a day job to do as well, so you know, something will probably give if we're not careful. In the town at the weekend, in towns at the weekend and in the evenings and that, people are not getting out. We know that the bus is finished early at the weekends and things, so people are not getting that service. This you know, is having an impact on everybody that uses the service, and we want to resolve it as soon as possible.
Sitting here right now, do you think a resolution is possible today?
I honestly don't know, Ben. I don't know who's, you know, what the union are prepared to accept. This is an offer they gave us yesterday. We've priced it up and things, so we'll go back and discuss that this afternoon. So,
what assurances can you give the Isle of Man public that we'll not see further strike action later in the year?
Somebody will be thinking about those, you know, TT further down the line. I'm more conscious about what we're doing now and over the next few weeks, you know, and see if we can get this resolved as soon as possible for the good of everybody here, not just visitors that are coming to the island, but everybody that's on the island.
Are you concerned about TT as it stands?
Well, I will be if we get closer to it, absolutely, yeah. But yeah, we've got Easter before that, and we've got other events before that, and we've got every weekend and every night when people want, and day when people want to go and use the buses.
That is Tim Crookall, the Infrastructure Minister, who was talking on Breakfast this morning about the bus situation. As ever, Bus Fannin have been posting about the services that are running. We are sharing those on our social media pages, so do take a look. But the Infrastructure Minister was also asked about whether his department was going to look into alternative solutions for West Quay in Ramsey. On the programme yesterday, we heard the DOI had withdrawn its planning application for new flood defences and highway improvements. They said that followed serious concerns raised locally about the scale and impact of the design. Mr Crookall told us more about it again on Breakfast.
Ramsey Town Commissioners are the face of Ramsey, if you like, as in all local authorities are. It's their town, they represent the locals, the constituents, and if they, the 12 of them, don't want it, why are we trying to force something onto them that's going to be there forever and a day till we've all long gone that they don't want? It's like, it doesn't work for Ramsey. They're going to lose parking. They're going to lose the sight of the harbour, if you like, with a 4-foot wall. And I am not prepared to make them have that, you know, if they don't want it. Why would we spend £8 million of the taxpayers' money on something that basically... And it ruins it for visitors as well. I've heard from people from well outside of Ramsey that go there to visit and say, what are you doing?
But what exactly were the concerns expressed to your department?
Well, the height of the wall, for one, you know, the 4-foot wall, is, you know, it's not needed, apparently. Now, I absolutely accept, and I think most other people do as well, something has to happen, because we remember the floods in Ramsey a few years back, 10 years back. Does it need to be a 4-foot wall? I'm not qualified, but I wouldn't want a 4-foot wall if it was my town. The chamber and the shopkeepers and that don't want to lose the parking down the quayside either. So we need to be able to find that resolve. And it's all very well us saying, well, you can find parking elsewhere in Ramsey, but it's not where it is now, which is convenient for those that want to just pop in and then pop out again. As soon as we can, we need to get back up to Ramsey and talk to the people up there. We need to sort of talk to the commissioners, have a public display again, and go back and start, you know, what can we do with that wall? The wall is the biggest objective, well, the wall and the parking, but, you know, can we do a 2-foot wall with glass on the top or something like that so people can see the harbour? I don't know, but, you know, we need to have a look at those things, because once it's in, that wall is there forever and a day. I don't know how much has been spent. I will ask that question. It's very hard to sort of work out with officers' time and this, that and the other, but you're long thousands of pounds, obviously. But when you look at what we're going to spend, and I think it's between £6 to £8 million, you know, the scheme that was put there, you know, it's a lot of money and it's there for a long time. We need to make sure it's right, as we will do for any other town or village.
That's the Infrastructure Minister Tim Crookall, who was on Breakfast this morning. You can hear that interview in full as a newscast on the Manx Radio website. It's coming up to 5:10. So Polish residents say they often have issues at the UK border when they're trying to get back to the Isle of Man. And this is because of the letter issued by the Manx government. So recently, we've been issuing the highlights or highlighting the issues faced by South Africans, Filipinos and Indian nationals who've been stopped at the border due to this wet ink visa stamp issue. And now more nationalities have come forward.
Hundreds or even thousands of Isle of Man residents hold leave to remain immigration status under the Isle of Man European Union Settlement Scheme. The status is evidenced by a physical letter with an official stamp. Unfortunately, the letter is not always recognized. Nowadays, electronic recognition is crucial. It's not up to me to say how long does it take. It's up to the government. It's up to Immigration Division and Home Office from the UK.
Can you describe the process when you get to the UK border? What happens?
You need to provide your passport, which is not expired. And along with the passport, you need to produce the physical letter stating that you've got status. And there is a stamp. That's it. This letter is not always recognized by the border controllers. They look at it and they don't know what to say.
So that was Chanel talking to some more people who've had issues getting back to the Isle of Man because of this. Speaking in the House of Keys earlier this morning, the Treasury Minister said work was underway to replace the wet ink stamp and visa, but it isn't going to be completed within the next 6 months. Arbury, Castletown and Maloo MHK Jason Morehouse wanted an update as more residents report those difficulties. Minister Chris Thomas said a digitisation programme was being developed in partnership with the UK Home Office and the Channel Islands to introduce digital immigration products, which will include electronic visas.
E-visas are tied to the holder's travel document and replace physical immigration documents, such as wet ink stamps, allowing individuals to digitally evidence their immigration permission. E-visas also allow the holder to evidence their immigration conditions, such as right to work, and update their personal details through an online customer account. I'm not able to give an exact timeline for this work here today, except that I am informed wet ink stamps and visa vignettes will not be replaced, unfortunately, in the next 6 months. Officers are working on the systems, policy and legislation required to deliver digital immigration products for the Isle of Man.
In the coming days, there's still going to be issues for local people.
Isle of Man physical immigration documents remain valid as evidence of immigration status and conditions, despite the introduction of digital products in the UK. We are trying to do everything we can with our colleagues at the Home Office and the Channel Islands to make the situation better than it currently is now.
Is there a possibility that we could use a fraction of our resources each jurisdiction and have a helpline so those people have an instant response and an instant solution?
So Jersey and Guernsey both still use physical immigration documents, are in the same situation as the Isle of Man, and all three Crown dependencies are working with the UK Home Office to develop digital immigration products for their respective status holders.
So that is the Minister Chris Thomas from Treasury there answering that question from Jason Morehouse. You can find out much more on the Manx Radio website. As I say, this has been an ongoing issue that we've been talking about in recent weeks. 12 minutes past five. So an American entrepreneur who runs a number of AI companies believes the Isle of Man could incorporate what's known as a charter city. Now, Malcolm Collins' vision for the island is designed to attract global talent and high growth industries that are unable to use heavily regulated markets. Well, Dave Moore is with me just now to explain more about what all this is about. And Dave, obviously the first question is, what is a charter city?
Well, Beth, I'll try and make this as simple as possible, but it's an autonomous zone. It has different taxes and laws, and it's claimed it promotes growth and innovation with not so strict regulations around pharmaceuticals and artificial intelligence. Now, one was established in 2020 on Roatan, which is an island. It's a bit longer than the Isle of Man, just off the coast of Honduras. It's called Prospera and spans 600 acres. And this operates under a distinct legal and regulatory framework that grants it autonomy from the Honduran government and is funded by venture capitalists. The scheme has proved controversial. There's been some failed attempts to establish some other charter cities around 10, 15 years ago in the Central American country. Basically, they didn't get past the planning stages, but this one, Prospera, is established and continues to operate. Now, Malcolm Collins also argues that charter cities are what revitalised China and the special economic zones, and they're the reason that the Chinese lifted their country out of poverty.
So then, how do we know about these plans involving the Isle of Man?
Well, Mr. Collins revealed his scheme to thebusinessdesk.com. They say he's shown them a 15-page slide deck called The Next Empire, Leveraging a Changing World to Save Civilization, which describes how a charter city in the Isle of Man would be governed by an executor, which you could say is like a dictator type figure, as they have full control of the government's laws and operational structure during their tenure.
Okay, so is this all pie in the sky, or should we actually give it some credence, do you think?
Right, well, in his interview with BusinessDesk.com, Mr. Collins claims he's spoken informally to people connected with the Isle of Man, but declines to name them for fear they could lose their jobs, stressing any discussions are at a very early exploratory stage. Despite his enthusiasm, Collins is realistic about the political constraints around any charter city on the Isle of Man and describes current projects globally as very nascent, and acknowledged that attempting something here in the island today would be so politically explosive that he does not expect it to move forward soon. And in the piece, he's also quoted as saying the Isle of Man isn't in the European Union, but is close to the EU, and that's probably the best place you could get. And he adds, all you would need is a flight there. You wouldn't even need that much territory to set up something like this. Now, all of a sudden, you have a region to set up a pharmaceutical development location, new AI technology that can't run in the EU because there are lots of AI regulations in the EU, new sorts of medical testing and stuff like that.
So then, are we aware that there's been any response to this on the island?
Well, where do you start? I mean, locally. I mean, who do you speak to? But businessnews.com say they've reached out to the Manx government, who have acknowledged a request for comment, but are yet to formally respond to any endorsement or rejection of the Collins plan. And let me finish, Beth, by saying this does follow on from the government's economic strategy, of course, which was published in 2022 and aims to make the island an attractive place to work as part of growing the size of population in the hope that this will sustain and grow productive business and services. I'll just add as well, I'm hoping to speak with someone from businessnews.com very soon, and maybe we'll have more on this story tomorrow.
Well, look forward to it. Dave, thank you very much indeed.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
Well, nothing specific to report on the police pages, always good news. The other things to look out for, still those temporary lights at the bottom of Cueg Hill, that's near the railway bridge. Also still on Cool Road near the business park and on Braddon Road just up from Brabham Bridge. And in Port St Mary, four roads is closed for emergency drainage works, and that closure is between Castletown Road and Beach Road. Looking down at the airport, all looks pretty good, and at the steam packet as well. The Manxman due into Douglas around about 5:30, heading out again as usual at 7:15.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicles winter check so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users.
It's coming up to 17 minutes past five. Today marks 4 years to the day since the beginning of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. As you may have heard already, later this week, a frontline volunteer from the war will be on the Isle of Man to give a talk. Sean Pinner is an ambassador for the Manx charity Prevail Together and works to support Ukrainian government agencies with humanitarian assistance. Now, this charity was founded by Manx resident Chris Garrett, who was killed in action last year. Mr. Pinner will talk about his time fighting in Ukraine, including his capture by Russian forces, where he said he was tortured and forced to record propaganda videos. Chanel has been talking to him ahead of his visit.
You're going through ups and downs, and it's, you've got to keep hope, because if you lose hope, hope in the military is quite an undervalued feeling, because you know, you don't put hope into any mission or you know, any plan, because if you're relying on hope in the military, you haven't planned well enough. So you don't really use it. But when all humanity is really stripped from you and you've lost everything and they're trying to degrade you and bring you down to as low as you can get, sometimes hope's all you have left. And if you lose that, then you've lost everything. So I never lost hope about fighting. I was so, the British Army trained me well in what it was like in captivity. I'd had SEER training, survival, evade, resist and escape training. People say, were you thinking of home a lot? I was thinking, no, I was thinking of where I can get the next food, where can I avoid getting beaten? What would be coming next and their angle they're going to take and how I'm going to beat that? I'm very competitive by nature. So, you know, I would have fought until the last. By the end of it, we were all of us as a group coming together and trying to fight the system like you would see in The Great Escape. We'd have daily meetings, daily chats, formulate plans, and trying to fight back against the system. You're still in a war, but you're trying to fight back. So I didn't have much time to really think of family.
Gearing up for your trip to the island?
Yeah, I mean, it's I've never been before. It's somewhere I always wanted to go. My friend, as I've said before, is Chris Swampy Garrett, who this is the legacy. So we're trying to really raise some money for Ukraine. Part of that is actually coming to talk in the Isle of Man where he grew up, meet his family, and talk about the realities of war in Ukraine, using my book and my experiences there. And without volunteers, I don't know if we'd still be here today. It's the volunteer community, the young sung heroes, everybody from paramedics to people that supply medical aid and vehicles through to engineers. So I don't think we'd be here if it wasn't for the volunteer force that come to Ukraine and offer to, you know, what essentially is a really dangerous war to be in.
That is Sean Pinner talking to Chanel there. His talk gets underway at Balakameen High School on Friday from 7 p.m. Full details on our website. And then straight after update, it's an Island Life special where you can hear more of that conversation between Chanel and Sean Pinner. It is 20 past five. Well, the FC Isle of Man manager Rick Holding could continue in the role next season. The former Premier League star took on the position in an interim capacity last September. Having guided the team from the relegation zone in the North West Counties Premier Division, he's open to discussing, he says, with the club about his future.
Well, what's next is get these 11 games done. And then the club needs to, we have discussed, need to sort of get a focus really where it's going, because it's a big drain on lots of types of people's resources in general. But I feel like it's job done and get out of the relegation zone. So we've done that. And yes, we've got up to 37 points, which is great. And I'd like to see them, you know, really finish the season well with quite a few victories. And then people will have to sit down pretty quickly and work out going to go happen across the summer.
That's kind of my final question, really, because you are still interim manager and having guided the team to safety, would you be happy to continue in the role?
I'm happy to do football, but who wants to travel to Lancashire 23 times a year? Ask yourself that question, you know? It's a tough ask. But, you know, I've enjoyed it. And the reason I said, you know, I'm 61. I mean, I'm not 41. But I've enjoyed it, yeah. And I stepped in to help out. But we'll have to sit down and talk about things, because it's a massive commitment. Everybody knows about my football past and they sort of use that angle. You know, Rick Holden, he's a footballer. Surely, you know, he would love to do it. But, you know, it's got to work. A lot of thought have to go into decisions like that. But I'm not prepared to say yay or nay at the moment to anyone. I'm just going to get through these games. But I said to you in the previous sort of answer was I'm going to have to sit down people over summer and see where they're going with it.
That's FC Isle of Man manager Rick Holden talking to Dave there. 22 minutes past five. It was World Mother Languages Day at the weekend, and to celebrate, Kulturvanen and Munjavega teamed up with a number of second language communities from across the island. Phil Gorn has been talking with Tiffany Karush, Kulturvanen's Year of the Manx Language Coordinator, who helped organise the event.
I think that sometimes that we can just go through life and forget that we've got so much diversity here on the island, and I think that people have enjoyed being invited along to be welcomed into the Manx community and to all get to know each other.
Galinda represented Zimbabwe at the event.
Over the years, people, we tend to lose our culture, our roots, obviously because of moving away from home or maybe relocating and stuff, but this actually motivated me that, you know what, people can still hold on to their roots, learning, you know, the Manx language, our own language. Yeah, it just brings some pride and joy.
Linda from Latvia enjoyed being part of World Mother Language Day.
I just really love it. You kind of feel like you belong when there's like different cultures representing, and it just goes to show that, you know, no matter where you're from, as long as you have your identity and we are all open-minded, it's just really lovely. You just feel like, yeah, really welcomed and lovely, yeah.
Jojo visited the event.
It's really an interesting and a great program, which I recommend that it keeps on going to bring all internationals together, that we can see ourselves as one people, that when you come to somebody's country, you don't see yourself as a stranger, you are welcoming. We from Ghana, if you go online, if you get a practical experience in Ghana, you see that Ghanaians are welcoming people. And we believe this event can cushion that here also on the Isle of Man. So we are happy to be part of it today.
Yasmin represented Nepal.
Everybody coming into Isle of Man saying that Isle of Man is our new home, and it's really basic that we need to understand like what Manx is all about. It's languages, it's heritage, culture, different traditions, and I think this is the wonderful program that gives us that opportunity to learn about Manx and to really appreciate Manx as our home, our new home.
There'll be much more about World Mother Language Day on this Sunday's Perspective.
Phil Gorn reporting there. It's 25 past five. We've got sport with the print shed just now. But first of all, Dave, you were talking about Malcolm Collins earlier and the Charter City. Charles has texted to say, Charter City, so what happened to the Technology Gateway and the Freeport?
Well, we'll see. We shall see.
We certainly shall see. But sports news this evening?
Yeah, starting with hockey, the Isle of Man's Sienna Dunn's been named as part of the 22-strong England under-21 squad. This is ahead of a three-match series against Ireland at Bisham Abbey over Easter. That's followed by the Euro Hockey Championship in the summer. Matthew Bostock capped a great weekend at the Lloyds National Track Championships at Manchester at the weekend by claiming two cycling titles. He was crowned scratch champion as well as winning the elimination race. His hopes of a hat-trick of successes were dashed, though, when he finished fifth in the points race. On to the Isle of Man TT. KTS Racing's revealed Dominic Herbertson will also be racing for them in the Superbike and Superstock classes, having recently confirmed he'll contest the Supersport category in their colours. He's riding the BMW 1000RR, previously ridden by Josh Brooks. A sad note to bring you, that's the announcement of the passing of Arthur Lamkin. An accomplished off-road competitor, many in the island will be aware of his prowess in trials and more notably motocross, where he was a multiple national champion. He was the last remaining brother of Alan and Martin, the family often competing in the Isle of Man, and his nephew Dougie, a world trial champion, both indoor and outdoor, lived in Douglas for a number of years. And finally, in the Man Crane Snooker League, there were wins for title rivals the Hurricanes and the Blinders, who are now one point clear at the top of the standings.
Thank you very much indeed, Dave. It's really interesting, isn't it, getting all the TT news? Because I think somebody said to me yesterday, and I couldn't quite believe it, it's about 90 days.
It's 92, I think.
Is
now.
It?
It is, yeah. Not that I'm counting.
Not that you are counting. You've got it on your little calendar at home, haven't you? It's just counting off the days, but it seems absolutely unbelievable. But yeah, all that TT news, you can find out much more on the Manx Radio website. Check out the Facebook page for the sport as well. That is all from Update Tonight. Coming up next, it's that Iron and Life special, as I say, to mark 4 years on since the start of the conflict in Ukraine. Chanel talks to the British veteran Sean Pinner, who was captured in Ukraine. He was subsequently released, and he is visiting the Isle of Man later this week. He's giving that talk at Ballacamine High School on Friday from 7 p.m. After that, it's Chris Kinney with Greatest Hits from Six. He's talking about Phil Collins, that Face Value album. I think it's from 1981. Some absolute crackers on that one. John Barker then has the folk show at 9. And then Dave, probably the hardest working person in Manx Radio at the moment, is back with After Hours at 10. Whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one. Update will be back with you at 5 tomorrow.